Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Can't tell you how good it is to have your company on this Monday morning. Hopefully we're going to get some fine weather eventually. There's a few showers predicted most days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday, but nothing like what we've experienced. But it would be lovely to have some racing on a good track up Sydney Way. Good morning to Ronnie Duffersey.
Good morning, TK. Yeah, it was a meeting that was under severe threat, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday morning, and yep. It was a meeting we had to get away as far as horses' programs are concerned, and it was an incredible achievement from the staff at the ATC to get that track raceable. Obviously, it was very heavy, and you had to get out wide, but they got it. The meeting went ahead on a very safe track, I must say, which was very surprising. It's the whatever work they've done on that track in the last 6 months seems to be working.
Yeah, which is great news. Tommy Berry was the first bloke to get it right, and then the others started following him, but a heavy 10 coming down that outside rail. He's swooped down the outside rail many, many occasions. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Yeah, with the amount of heavy tracks I've seen recently, TK, I think I'm all right. I couldn't even escape one yesterday at Scone for the country championship there. And I got up this morning and there was blue sky, and I'm looking out towards your place, Ronnie, and it's a bit dark.
Yeah, it's funny. It was, it sort of was going to be a beach day early on. And just
Ronnie, go
shower.
Easy on the public there.
Are you a speedo man, mate, or are you a board short man?
I'm a board shorts man under the umbrella.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
with the paper and a phone.
Thank God, there's some sense.
Now,
Glenn, you mentioned the country championship. Paul Massar up there with Careless Choice. Unbeaten, didn't really handle the going, but was still too good, beating Nick Vendetta and My Summer Long.
Yeah, well, TK, the biggest thing to come out of the country championship qualifier yesterday was the result and the way that it unfolded, because we had a look at the when they hit the line and we thought that Nick's Vendetta had won. Toddy Howlett standing there looking at the semaphore board. Paul Massar actually watched the race in the secretary's office.
Yeah.
And Gary Harley made love. He said, nine's the winner, hang on. Careless Choice, and we all looked it up the semaphore board and were quite shocked. Paul Massar walked out of the secretary's office with the most stunned look on his face you've ever seen, saying, did I win? Toddy Howlett's probably 30, 40 metres away, and then, you know, he's got just as big a stunned look on his face. When they put the photo up, it had actually won quite easily.
Yeah.
And when I say quite easily, you know, there was a distinctive margin.
A clear margin, yeah.
Nick's Vendetta only just held on to second by a minute amount from All Summer Long, who was out wide on the track. So, you know, it was a big shock, the result, as per what we thought when they hit the line.
Yeah, and just on that, John Massara has confirmed that Hugh Bowman will ride Teaspoon in the slipper. So we'll get to all the performances of the juvenile. A big good morning to Dean Lester from Melbourne. Hey, Dino.
Hello, TK.
Well, speaking of two-year-olds and juveniles, you had a little bit of a shock down there on the weekend with Medeity getting beat?
Well, yes, she did, and it was probably a shock on form, but it wasn't a shock if you're at the races. She absolutely melted at the races, so she was probably a risk by come race time, but it was her stable mate who trialled only just fairly, I thought, Plovercet, but she put in a good performance to beat her.
Yeah, she's done that before, hasn't she, Dino? You know, sort of got half pie gone to pieces.
It's a trend.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
She Mark Zahra said when the horse played up in the barriers and they had about another minute delay, he said, I reckon she'd have lost 10 kilos. He said she was just
really
out of it. And there was a lot of criticism of Mark the way he rode her, that he nursed her through the middle stages instead of letting her really run. And I think he probably had a lot going through his head in regards to how she was, as much as anything, because she'd really gone to pieces.
Well, it happened in three states, really, Ronnie, didn't it? We had the juveniles all on display, and maybe, well, I think, yes, I will say, the most impressive in my mind, Utzon, the Magic Millions winner, now a $4.60 favourite in the, well, not favourite, second favourite in the Golden Slipper.
Well, she's the one with no mistakes, isn't she? She ran time on Saturday, faster than the older horses, so she's the one everyone's just, you know, warming to at this stage. She hasn't had a trip away or anything like that, but she's the one that sort of last girl standing. Actually, there's a final, a ballot order of entry that's come out this morning, which is very interesting. If I can just run through it.
Sure.
The four exempt horses are She Will Reign, Gunnison, Frolic, and Diamond Tathagata. So there's four. One More Honey is exempt as well, but won't pay the late entry fee, so we can put a line through her. And then number five is Catchy. Number six is Pariah. Number seven is Formality with a question mark. Eight is Veronillo. Nine is Teaspoon. 10 is Tulip. 11 is Wait for No One. I don't know whether he... David.
Not sure he's coming.
No. Hudson's number 12. Tracking's number 13, so he's still there. Medinity's 14, so that spot has got to be a big question mark now as well.
Yep.
Then you've got Invader at 15. Serena Bay, I don't know whether she's around at the moment, at 16. Then you've got Khan, Invincible Star, who's in the paddock. Minari, who'd be desperate to get in the race if he's in good order, because he's a better colt than what we saw on Saturday. He's number 19. Obviously, we've got two spots up for grabs Saturday with the two-year-old races there, which makes them puts them up the order. So it'll be to-ing and fro-ing as far as what David Hayes is doing with a couple of his qualifying spots.
Yeah, Ronnie, Invincible Star, according to Racing Australia, is listed as spelling.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So Glenn, we've currently got She Will Reign, so she's gone out in the market a little bit to $3.60.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people, just turn back the clock 12 months, boys, and shock, horror, we made a Melbourne horse favourite for the slipper. Now we're having people telling us we should have a Brisbane horse favourite for the slipper. But She Will Reign holds on to favouritism at the moment. She was 2.80 on Saturday morning before they'd run a race. She got out to, I think you'll find, 2.80 to 3.40, I think.
I think so, yeah.
On Saturday. And then since that, Saturday after she got beat, she's gone 3.40 to 3.60. Hudson, who was an $8 chance on Saturday morning, when She Will Reign was beaten on Saturday, Hootson actually firmed from $8 to $6 without running. After Hootson won in Brisbane, it firmed from $6 to $4.60. There was a bet yesterday, I think it was $3,000 on it at $4.60 around about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then she firmed to $4.40 at that stage. And that's where they are at the moment. They're the only two runners under double figures. You've got Catchy and Pariah, 1-2 from the Diamond last week, are $11. Frolic actually firmed 51 into 11. After winning on Saturday, despite the fact, you know, she found the best ground first up in the first race there. Chauffeur didn't lose anything after being beaten in the Opal yesterday, stayed $15. Minari drifted from 8 to 15, and I just can't work out how Chauffeur hasn't moved and Minari's doubled its price after Saturday.
Well, I can't understand why his chauffeur's still in the market. He's number 24 order of entry, so there's the discrepancy in the market there. He's going to really struggle.
Yeah, well, Trekking and Veronillo, Trekking stayed 15, Veronillo stayed 15 after Saturday, and then you get out to the $26 line where there's a million of them. But,
yeah.
You know, we'll know a lot more. You'll be able to work out this a lot easier. When we used to do the slipper, we'd wait for the noms for Saturday. And then you put the line through everything that's not there Saturday and basically rated below 25. Then you can really sort of get your head around what's there, all the permutations that what can jump in the order come Saturday, and then you've got your real nuts and bolts of what the slipper's going to be.
Right.
Is it one of these years where something could really jump out of the ground late here? Like we've got these two really nice fillies running on Saturday, Limbo Soul and Elise. So if one of those come out and bolted in, they'd be figuring in the market here. And then obviously you've got Condor Heroes and Single Bullet in the Colts race. They've got they could bounce on the scene there as well.
Yeah. Well, typically the horse that does run well on the Saturday before the slipper will be very, very competitive in the slipper without actually winning it, but very, very competitive. I know it's a very long bow, but it's a similar sort of system to the Lexus going into the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, well, that's history tells you that's a good form guide. Let's deal with the Black Opal because we're all looking forward to this, thinking it would be a significant race going forward to the Golden Slipper. And in the end, it was an upset $35 chance, Trapeze Artist for Timmy Clark. Timmy Clark got the big double yesterday, the Black Opal and also the Canberra Cup. But Ronnie, Trekking second and Murakib, I've pronounced that three different ways this morning, Mirakib was third, but it was a strange race.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a contest the way I looked at the race. They sat up and a few horses, obviously they all wanted to sit with cover, as they say, where this he had no pressure on him, Trapeze Artist. He just sat up there and sprinted home the last 600 metres. I think it's a different race to the Slipper. You know, on paper you'd say, oh, Trekking Mirakib was disappointing, but I think they'd be different style of horses in the makeup of a race that they go along in, like a Golden Slipper. Trekking wandered out and was very new and green, and maybe the gear changes in order for a horse like him, I don't know.
He took a long while to pick up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's because they were sprinting home. You know, like it was a funny race, and late in the day there, it was hard to make up ground. You know, Mercurial Lad in the last lead and kept going after looking beaten. I went into the Black Opal thinking, wow, this is a real race, this one, and then walked out of it, although the winner was very, very good, just feeling a little bit flat the way the race was run.
Dino, what did you make of it? Mirakib was probably, what, 4 or 5 wide, chased to the line, but the winner won with great authority.
I thought, the winner was very good. I thought Mirakib was terrific. When the pace slackened, he started to creep into the race, but he was very wide.
Very wide.
He's a really good horse. It'll just come up too soon for him, and he won't get in the field. But he's going to be, I think, a really good horse in time.
Okay, I don't accuse you of this very often, Glenn Munsey, but I think the $11 catchy is very, very attractive odds. We're just a matter of whether, Dean, I guess we can match that Melbourne form up with what's been happening in Sydney, and then Utzon, who's the Magic Millions winner, who came back and lumped the 63 kilos with ease on the weekend.
Yeah, well, I know Munz has put a line through it because it'll be first start Rose Hill. And that's a very good rule of thumb too, just quietly.
Mm.
Thank you, Dean.
Well, that puts the Hoots in it.
Hoots in it. Mm. At least she's been going right-handed.
The Melbourne two-year-old record coming to the Slipper is deplorable. Now, I know Crystal Lily. She ran to the outside fence and won. But, you know, she's won over about 50.
And she'd won at Randwick too. Mm. So
she had a start at 1,000 metres at Randwick.
And you just had to remember back to Miss Finland after a good run in the Diamond. She ran well in the lead-up. But now that they haven't got the time to have that lead-up, that second run is usually vital.
Well, surely Catchy would have been educated the Sydney way.
She will, and she's very tractable, and she might be against... I think she's good enough to win. Mm.
Yeah,
it's just the actual, the unique shape of 1,200 metres at Rose Hill. It's a horseshoe. You jump from the 1,200, you start hitting a bend at about the 800 metre mark. You finish on that bend at the 400 metre mark. So you're turning for 400 metres. And a horse that's been going, you know, the Melbourne way, hits Sydney and gets on a bend for 400 metres, especially if it's working along.
So you're saying she can't win.
It takes a massive amount out of them. Well, I just say, TK, I don't want to be on them.
Okay.
I've been wrong once in about 30 years.
Oh
please.
No, I'm talking about backing a Melbourne horse, their first go at Rose Hill in the Slipper,
right.
1 out of 30.
Well, they're hard to win.
Well, yeah, we had, like, 2 years ago, I thought we sent a horse up there who'd only had one start, and I thought he'd be good enough to do it, and he did exactly what Munn said, and that was ready for victory. He ran fourth and ended up on the outside fence.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Okay, well, it'll unfold. We're going to be taking your thoughts on 13:53:53. And with the wet tracks we've had, Ronnie, too, if they do dry out, we're going to see a lot of form from recent weeks just go out the window anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately, it just makes it even harder for punters.
Yes, there's a lot of questions. You know, is that real form Saturday on that heavy track? How are those horses? Some will recover, some won't. It's a real mystery day as far as Randwick's concerned.
What about Joe Moreira? Could not get a winner at Randwick on Saturday, then went back to Hong Kong. If you're just catching up with the news, at Sha Tin, he rode the first four, had a little break and came back and rode another four. So it was a pretty good effort. He is the magic man, isn't he, Ronnie?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's just an absolute freak. You know, 8 winners twice in your lifetime so far, and he's still a young man. There's no doubting he's obviously a world class jockey. Didn't make too many mistakes on Saturday. Thought he rode pretty well.
Does he ever want to take a pay cut and come to Sydney?
Oh, probably when he wants to lay back and
well, he's testing a new horizon. He's had a few goes.
Yeah, when he saves enough money, he can come here.
When he lobs here and they say, now listen, Joe, there's 50% out of everything you earn goes west when you come here. He'll say, hurts. Nice country to visit.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll just retire here.
When he's financially secure, you think he might roll the dice?
I think he's already there.
Take the financial risk and say, look, it's quite phenomenal. The other eight actually came in Singapore, Ronnie, and the previous record up in Hong Kong was six, wasn't it?
I think he'd
equaled. Brett Preble, Douglas White. True.
Yeah, it was Singapore one night. I think there was nine races, one apprentice race, which he wasn't eligible for, and he rode the other eight. So right. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, here we go. This just came in from Red Devil Boys. Can Catchy win the slipper? Well, Munsey says no. Dino says?
Good enough. If she gets it right on the day, she's good enough to win.
Ronnie?
She won me in the diamond. I
the final 200. Go and have another look. Yeah, it was fantastic.
But she reached for the line. I was on pariah there. It was all over. And she did something that was just special.
Strong.
She can win. She can win.
Mm. All right. There you go, Red Devil.
Just remember Extreme Choice, and that was the greatest thing to ever come out of Melbourne last year and started favourite in the slipper. How'd he go?
Yeah, it's all right. They're all individuals.
Yeah, I know. But
he should have won.
As a rule of thumb, that's what I do.
Yeah. Same in the Melbourne Cup. Rule of thumb is that an import can't win first go.
Every horse has got a price, though.
But what have they been beaten by about half a nose a few times? Mm. So.
Have they rung up number one apart from Vintage Crop?
That's right. No. Mm. No, they haven't.
And she's not 6-4. That's the thing.
That's right.
That's right. She's $11.
That price might be already factored in there.
Well, the way Munns is talking, it could be $15 by the time it's
Well, everyone wants to tell you it's a single figure chance, and it's still the same price as Pariah. Mm-hmm. And you've got a horse that started a 15-1 chance or 14-1 chance on Saturday is now the same price as it because it beat the odds on favourite.
Yeah. It's looking very much fillies, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah, and just a quick one, too. Trapeze Artist, which did win that Black Opal, trained by Gerald Ryan, look, not in the slipper field anyway.
It wasn't even nominated.
And not going to be carrying or coming up with the late entry fee. What's that?
150, I think.
150 now. Mm. It's a fair cop, isn't it? Trapeze Artist, which won the Black Opal yesterday at $35. $13.53.53. We're going to be taking your calls very, very shortly. Okay, I won't get to that one. Yeah. You just got to make sure you pre-read.
Oh, you've learned that, have you?
Yeah.
You've got to make sure you actually pre-read everything very, very...
Was it addressed to you personally, or was it a general comment about the show itself?
Here's another one, and I had this query earlier on this morning on Utzon. Now, would it carry a lot of dead weight there, Dino? The theory is it's much harder to carry dead weight or saddlebag weight instead of just natural weight?
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably right, but she was playing in the Little League on Saturday and just had to scoot around. Mm. Yeah. Just a day at the races, wasn't it, really? Yeah.
Mm. Well, what's your opinion, boys? You know, I had this discussion with Lizzie Jolts on Saturday. A two-year-old hasn't carried 63 kilos in Brisbane since the 70s, but I'd like to know how many have actually been in there. Yeah. But, you know, my dad used to always tell me, two-year-olds, they just hit the ground and run. It doesn't matter whether they've got 47 or 87.
That's true. It's short of the distance. Well, 1,000 metres, it only really makes much difference if you're up and running with momentum. They wouldn't be feeling obviously they've got to carry the weight, but I think we overemphasise that.
So is it the right option to stay in Brisbane and go around with the 63 kilos at Eagle Farm?
Well, it definitely was. She didn't have to go through a bog track. She didn't. She's had a day out.
More importantly, she's not travelling away from home, right? Mm. She's had to come from the Gold Coast. It's an hour up the road. It's a whole different story sitting on a float for 10 hours to come to Sydney, getting used to what's going on here. She's away from her own environment. That's going to be the biggest test for her to come to the slipper, when they actually come down. Do they leave it to the last moment? Matty Dale, interesting, in an interview the other day, he's worked out a process with his horses in the Tab Highway from Mwillimbah. He comes down Wednesday night. They're there Thursday morning. They trot around Thursday morning. They get acclimatised Thursday, Friday. This is a two-year-old that's never been away from home.
Yeah, I like him settling in. But Toby's open. He says he's coming 2 days before the race.
Hmm. Okay. So he's going to stick to that.
Well, that's what I read.
All right. Probably remiss of me as well to not mention this, but there was, and we've had a few callers about this morning as well, a wonderful tribute to Rihanna Thompson, who unfortunately lost her life after a... track four. She was only 22 years of age, and Ronnie, a few of the people who went to Canberra on the weekend or yesterday for that Blake Opal meeting, there was a minute's silence, and they tell me the respect shown to Rihanna was wonderful, and you could have heard a pin drop during that minute's silence.
Yeah, well, she's a local girl, and it was just a horrible accident that took a young girl's life. Mm. Words can't describe how they must be feeling, and it's just a terrible, unfortunate accident.
Yep, and then we saw the tribute as well, Glenn, from Tommy Berry was very forthright, and then Craig Williams also, all paying tribute to the dangers that the track jockeys face, not just the race day jockeys as well.
Yeah, and I put something out during the week, TK. You know, that these people that are, the unknowns,
sure,
in inverted commas, they're there every single morning, yep, riding these horses' work, And you ask the big name jockeys now, they don't have the opportunity to ride anywhere near the amount of work that they used to ride.
No.
They're riding trials sometimes 3 days a week, races 3 days a week. They're not there. So these are the people that you never ever hear about. They're doing just as much work every single morning, and quite often they're getting on the ones that no one else wants to get on. The unruly ones, what they call the mad ones, the scatterbrains and everything like, trying to actually educate them, and they're putting their lives at risk, even possibly more than what the average jockey does, albeit the jockeys are out there in race fields of 16 and 17.
Sure.
But, we had a situation yesterday at Scone. We had one flipped over behind the barriers with Andrew Gibbons, a trot on him, and then it kicked him in the face.
Yeah.
And then we had another one that went bolted on its way to the barriers with Luke Cumberland. It got near the winning post in the enclosure and did a sidestep. Luke bailed out, and he injured his wrist there. Now, they're not life-threatening injuries, but they're the sort of things that can happen, and they're not in a race.
No, that's right. No, mate, I doubt their judgment, but I certainly never doubt their courage.
And yesterday, Cam, we had Kayla Nisbet coming back from an injury, and she managed to ride the last winner. So at least Canberra, they started the day on a very, very sombre note, but people would have left there on a brighter note with Kayla coming back.
Very much so. John, good morning to you.
Yeah, mate. I've just got a short, sweet question for you.
Yeah.
Can you let me know what's going on with Condor Heroes, the slipper point of view?
He runs Saturday. He's running Saturday. Obviously, he's had a setback. He's the horse that set the two-year-old early trials in October alight, and then he was run down by Khan into that when he faced the breeze into that headwind in the Breeders' Plate. So he's obviously a very fast, talented horse, and we get to have a look at him Saturday. Not the ideal preparation, but he gets his chance to make the field.
Well, I just wanted to know because I had a few good bets on it for the place and the slipper, that's all.
Yeah, well, all eyes will be on him on Saturday. I'd say if he wins Saturday, he might back up. I'd say he would back up. That's the reason they're running Saturday.
Well, he's a $26 chance in the Golden Slipper.
Yep.
So, certainly. Right. Didn't he win the barrier trial by, eight lengths or something like that?
Two-year-old trials at Ramwick.
Very fast time.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he trialled this preparation, and he looked really good. That's about, must be six weeks ago now. And then he went missing. So he's obviously had a little issue.
Mm. Okay.
You're basically going to need minimum of $100,000 in prize money to get into the slipper.
Okay.
Because at the moment, the 18th horse in the slipper is Invincible Star, and it's got 91.5.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right. Plus, there'll be two more that'll be eligible after the weekend, right there.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, John, for that. Good luck with Condor Heroes. Currently, as I mentioned, a $26 chance at tab.com.au. She Will Reign 360, Utsin $4.40. Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
G'day.
Just a question for the Duff about She Will Reign. What are your thoughts on her chances? Obviously, all things being equal with a good surface and on top of the ground.
I've always been against her because of her only a price factor. I just think she's been a poison favourite at 280 for the slipper, and I've been negative about her. And when she came up $1.25 there on Saturday, I was very negative about her. I thought she put in a very good slipper trial. She was in the middle of the track. No one knew where the going was that early in the day. I thought from within just left her in front too soon there, and she was a sitting shop for the bias out wide. They beat the rest a long way. She's got a terrific hope in the slipper.
Okay.
Could you back her at 360, Duff?
No.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Look, everything's got a price. I say she's...
She might be $4.
She might be $4 or $5. Yeah, oh, well, jump time.
You know, she takes out $650,000 more than Hootson does.
That's why she's
price. No, we understand, Glenn. Yeah. We're just
but
saying.
People, TK, I'm very open in what we do, right? And people will say, well, how come you're so short that? Well, there's a reason.
Yes.
There's a reason why you do everything.
Yeah, that's right. We're not blaming you at this particular point, okay?
Still line up.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, coming. And here's one. Quick one. Munsey, what happened to the Tab side on Saturday? Went down, cost me plenty. Not even an apology for the Tab or anything said on Sky. MG from Penrith. I actually ran into this problem myself on Saturday. Then got through. Well, they told me a Telstra outage. Munz, were you aware of anything?
Well, I was made aware of it. I didn't know. I'm sitting there looking at Larry the laptop. I'm not, to be brutally honest, I'm not worried about the website. I'm looking at the actual computer system of the Tab and concerning myself with Randwick races, Armidale races and Eagle Farm.
Yeah.
So I did not know until later in the day. I know on social media there was a lot of upset punters, as you would expect.
Yeah.
But I did not know what was going on across all of the system, because as I said, my system and the system and I'm worried about majorly the whole day was working properly. So,
actually,
I'm responsible for everything that goes on there, but, you know, I just let that one slide.
I was a benefactor.
Might have saved you money?
Yeah.
Well, you tend to get a bit more irate when it costs you money.
Wasn't I pulling the tail? Would like to get Ronnie's opinion on Impavado on Saturday. Chopped out with the inside to outside fence moves and still ran a good fourth, Tiger Marty.
Yeah, he bred to stay all day, and he looks a real Derby horse. He's still raw, but he's like I said, he's got that pedigree to really run the Derby distance, and it was a very, very good run on Saturday.
Okay.
All in one prep is a question mark, but look, no knock. Inference is a very good horse.
What Michael Hawks had to say, really? He basically said, look, if it wins today, it's doing it on raw ability. It's not ready. And then we saw what it did. It could be something really special.
He could well be, yeah. Sounds like they really like him a lot. I tipped him in the morning on Saturday and I looked at him in the yard and I'm going off one run too soon here.
Right.
But he was good.
That's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a really good sign.
No, he's a good horse.
He looks a beaut. He could be something special. Hello, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning, TK and crew. How are we?
Well, thank you.
Mainly a question for Dean first, if I can, very quickly.
Yep.
Dean, there was a horse called from the Robbie Griffiths stable called Chateau Griffo.
Yes.
Now, I was so impressed with its first run. Do you know what's happened to it? Has it gone sore? Or?
Yeah, she had a little bit of muscle soreness in the probably 10 days leading into the Blue Diamond. That's why she didn't run. And I think the plan is to try and get her to run in the next couple of weeks and then maybe come to Sydney for the, what's the good two-year-old race over the championship stuff, the Arrowfield or?
Yeah, the two-year-old fillies race.
Yeah.
It's not the Arrowfield.
Percy Sykes.
Percy Sykes, that's
Percy
it.
Percy Sykes, well.
1,400 or 12?
1,200.
Yeah. 12?
Yeah, Miss Rock won it last year.
What did you think of its first up run?
Oh, it was outstanding. And
wasn't it?
Yeah,
she
ran really...
The were there and, yep. And it ducked in a little bit the last 50.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit sore then. That's how what's happened.
Well, the form stood up through.
I was so impressed with it. I was looking for it all the time up to the diamonds. That explains it.
Yeah,
it's a $26 chance in that Percy Sock.
Is it?
A very, very good horse.
There you go.
Also, about Tony McAvoy. I didn't realise he was his first Group 1 win.
Well, as an individual.
As an individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not away
I
from
thought he'd won one before that.
Fields of Omar, wasn't it?
Fields of Omar. Barely a Moment was his last. Yeah. In the size produce when it was Group 1 down here.
Oh, I was so happy for him to win two of those races on Saturday. I think he's a fantastic trainer. If I had a good one, I'd give it to him.
There you go.
That way.
There you go. He'd probably take an ordinary one as well.
Yeah. I can't pay the bills for the fly one.
Exactly.
Good on you, Gary.
Thank you.
I haven't probably paid tribute enough. It was really terrific to see Tony have a double, but getting that first Group 1. And hey, Doc's pretty good. Dino, that was it was a dominant win. It had a beautiful run. Prized Icon was very good. Harlow Gold was good. Sea Burge wasn't that far away. Divine Prophet, She just battled on.
Yeah, I think.
What did you make of it all?
Take into account that Flemington played very well to the fence on Saturday.
It did, didn't it?
The Guineas was probably a great example of it. Those horses out wide, they were all sort of. It was a very bunch finish, and I think that the first four or five were all pretty much close to the inside. Haydock had the right run, he had the right form, and
yeah.
I think if he'd had that sort of run in the Caulfield Guineas, he'd have probably been the Caulfield Guineas winner as well. But so there's nothing wrong with his form. Prized Icon, he's got so much improvement in his coat. His coat hasn't really got that to its best yet, and his carrying condition, he's in great shape for going forward.
Follow.
Is that done, Prized Icon, more good on route to the Derby than the horses that ran in Sydney on that really bad track?
No doubt. And a little trip away, and I think he's in perfect shape to press forward.
Well, he makes lots of right decisions, James.
They're very well. He puts a lot into them.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good move, and he ran very well. You mentioned Snitz and Harlow Gold, they're all close to the inside. Anaheim's a horse you'll see towards the Derby.
Yep.
He won a stakes race here in the spring. He's come back a lot better. He was a really good runner. I think he'll run pretty well in the Rosehill Guineas, but the Derby, he could be a real player.
And Divine Prophet, do we put it down that part of the track, it was hard to make ground late?
Yeah, a little bit. He was,
so we don't drop off yet.
Jury's out, though.
Jury's out. He was very wound up to win.
He looked,
to my eye, he didn't have, that was a real target race for him.
Could have done a little bit more.
Mm. Yep. Now, as horses were just mentioned, over the last 5 minutes or so, for regards to the Derby, Inference is the $6 favourite. Prized Icon's $11 second favourite. Anaheim and Impavido are on the third line of betting at 15 with a stack of others.
Okay.
They're well onto the good chances there.
Yeah.
Nothing sneaking under the radar there. Quickly, morning team, I didn't hear the Black Opal. How was Cuba's run? And couldn't make the slipper. Thanks, Pete from Lake Haven.
Won't make the slipper, but keep an eye on him. He's a pretty good horse.
Anaheim Guys, good run. Can win the Derby. Also, a Stern sister can win the slipper if she gets in. Shannon?
That's Elise's.
She's got to go win-win.
She's got to go bang-bang, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What did you say?
Much colder the other day in the trial.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The trial. It's a good trial.
So what are you... about 100,000 you need, Glenn? That's right?
Yeah, if she doesn't win Saturday, she's not in.
Hey, boys, what's your thoughts on Blackheart Bart in the Doncaster? Cheers.
You can't really horse like him out. What's he going? What weight's he going to get? It's a handicap, the Doncaster. So he's...
where are we?
What's his rating?
I thought he was... all the weights are out, so it's...
they're out, are they? Okay, I can look it up. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up now.
Blackheart Bart is Blackheart Bart.
Just keeps on winning.
Yeah, disregard him at your own peril.
Yeah, 57 he's got.
57, okay, fair enough.
That's the weight he should have too, absolutely.
Yeah, well, Hartnell's top weight in 58. Now, Hartnell doesn't run. Does that mean, what have we got, is 58 the guaranteed top weight now in Group 1?
Would he get bumped up a kilo, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, do they go up a kilo if Hartnell doesn't run?
Not sure.
I reckon.
What about the mile at Randwick? That'd be a risk, Dino?
He's won 1,800 and he's run well at 2,000. It's probably, he ran well in the Stradbroke going right-handed, got beaten a lip in the Stradbroke. So, I think he's just a remarkably good horse. So.
He is. Just keeps on winning.
Yeah.
Keeps on winning. Hello, Tony. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, guys. A couple of my mates got a share in Limbo Soul. Cool. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the Golden Slipper. I'm pretty sure it's in this weekend.
Yeah, were they part of the plunge last start?
Sorry?
Were they part of the big plunge on Limbo Soul last start?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck to them.
Well, good on them.
Obviously, Tony, they're going to know more on Saturday. We'll see how she goes. Look, I thought she was brilliant at a debut. Although, when you get back and watch the replays, it could have been flattering leading on the rail. She did it, and she did it in a manner that just captured your attention. She seemed like she'd been there before. She cruised and high cruising speed, but relaxed in herself. She was. I think she's a beauty.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I'm hoping the same for him as well.
No reason to drop off, Tony. There you go. 13:53:53. Text messages, keep them coming. 0419 SMS BSB, which translates to 0419 767 272. Hi, Greg.
G'day, boys. How are you today?
Never better.
That's the way. Just writing in about the situation that arose at Brisbane Racing on Saturday with a horse Bound for Love, quite accomplished sprinter, etc. What was it, Randwick? The money came, 320 into 290, and in the last about 2 minutes of betting, it went from 290 to 550.
Wow.
Very similar to the Scarlet Rain thing that the boys brought up on the show on Sunday. It ran appropriately. It is a known front runner. It came out at the tail of the field and finished officially 67.3 lengths from the winner. I was just wondering if the stewards up there had done anything about it. This sort of thing seems to be happening in Brisbane quite regularly lately. And I wonder if there's any questions asked. It was just an abysmal where it could blow from 290 to 550 in about 3 minutes just before they ran and ran and run like that. Is Duff or any of the boys got any idea what...
Well, mate, first up it was $1.60 to $3.01.
Sorry?
It was $1.60 to $3 first up and won, so it's not a so it's not unusual for it.
Still, $2.90 to $5.50, Glenn, in the last 10 minutes of betting.
But I'm just saying,
they'd be looking at it, Greg. There's no doubt about it.
What
could have fallen apart in the yard?
I don't know. I didn't see that particular race, so it's.
But it was beaten 67 lengths.
67.3. Well, that would tell you there's got to be something wrong with the horse, sure.
What race was it in?
I was in the last race. I'm just bringing up the stewards report.
It was 12 of 12.
Right, Bound for Love. It's a tome. Post-race veterinary examination revealed no significant findings apart from a laceration inside the off-fore cannon. Mr. Edmonds was advised that if there was anything amiss with the mare on return to the stables, he should inform stewards. However, if nothing significant comes to light, the mare would be required to trial, and a veterinary clearance will have to be provided prior to the horse's next start, and a swab sample was taken. Jeff Lloyd stated the mare sweated up badly prior to the start and received a bump soon after the start. The mare was bumped again on the hindquarters and turned inwards, and then shortly after had to be steadied away from the heels approaching the 1200.
Incredible. It just seems these sort of incidents are happening in Brisbane quite regularly lately. I just thought the boys might have...
Well, there was one in the last race yesterday at the Sunshine Coast, which was punishing of Liam Birchley's. It got beat about a furlong as well. But it was a firmer. It wasn't a drifter.
It's pretty hard down hard when you see it happen. 290 to 550 on the board in the last about 3 minutes of betting from Brisbane. I knew I was dead as soon as that happened. I threw my ticket in the bin virtually before the race. But it's just a regular occurrence in Brisbane these days. So, worry.
Yeah, sorry we can't help you. It's cold cup. It goes pretty good. I mean, it's 1-5 of 12. It's one. So you can see why it was back, but then it drifted badly in betting. 13. 53-53. We'll go down to up the board, actually, to Mick. G'day, Mick.
G'day, mate. G'day, boys. How are you?
G'day, Mick.
I'd just like to tell you, I look at all the different results throughout New South Wales on a Saturday, and I was just looking at Caruthal, is it, in New South Wales?
Caruthal.
Is this Trevor Sutherland?
That's the one. It's the dirt track. And they had six races on Saturday, and the trainer trained the whole six winners.
Mm. Even he wouldn't have been able to put the money in his hat. Trevor Sutherland's the biggest hat you've ever seen.
Yeah, and the jockey, she rode five winners, and if he had been on his other horse, he would have rode the sixth winner.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's a shame it didn't make more press, but I only saw that yesterday, actually. It's amazing, yesterday afternoon. It's an amazing achievement from Trevor.
He might be able to get Joe Marrera out there, and they can...
Yeah, ride the program.
Ride the program, and he could train the program.
Yeah, it's it's just a unique sort of effort, you know. It's fantastic, you know, to see that, you know, they get a bit of play, you know. But I just thought I'd ring up and mention that. But
it doesn't matter where it is, Mick, you're right. It's a fine training performance to be able to do that.
He drives trotters too, you know, Trevor Sutherland, I think.
Does he?
Yeah, good bloke. Yeah.
All right. Where's he train again?
Wagga.
Yeah,
he's got a property outside of Wagga.
Good on you, Mick. Well done. Well done to Trevor. This one, Dino, the whip rule. Craig, here we go again. Craig Williams breaks the whip rules on Sneaky in the last, gets fined, and wins the race by a nose. Luke Curry abides by the rules, and we do our cash. Just not right, as a rule if they don't start disqualifying. Thoughts?
I was on the second horse, and yes, he broke the rules, and I don't care. He had to do what he had to do to win, and I don't look. It wasn't an ungainly look, and I think that's all we've got to, you know, we've got to look at. I know he transgressed by two strikes, but you know, we'll get a punter in a minute text in and say I was on Mr. Sneaky. What a fantastic ride by Craig Williams. So
well, then we've got to fight. You got to work out that those two extra cuts of the whip improved the horse and all this sort of. Well, I remember in the very beginning when all this happened, they were making a rod for their own backs.
Yeah, no, we all thought that.
And we were proved right.
Yep. It was...
what can I hush about
Craig Williams and Craig Williams and Terry Bailey butted heads all day on Saturday.
Did they?
Craig Williams got 12 meetings and... gee, was that... For Craig... I mean, Craig's... not as vocal as that in the stewards room usually, but at one stage he said, I don't know how you can sleep at night when he said to Terry Bailey when he suspended him for 12 meetings. So it was...
now you've got 24.
Oh, no, he said... actually...
I was smart enough to say it after.
I've just changed my mind.
Yeah, no, he actually
was
said...
Was that on Turbo Miss?
Turbo Miss, yeah.
He caused interference there.
Well...
Quite clearly.
Yeah, he did.
On the head on, you can see it clearly.
Yeah, well, you could. Yeah, and it was.
Well, you're saying he was entitled to take the run, are you?
It was a very fine line because Manageress was totally beaten.
Yeah.
And was marking time, and there were, you know, I mean, Noel Kello, yes, was entitled to the run, but he was gone, and not that he should move out of the way, but it was a very fine line, and I could see Craig's point. He was always going to get time. 12 meetings was right, you know, and obviously causes him maybe to miss Super Saturday. So,
look at that head on, Dino, the stewards have no choice.
I think it was more the severity that he was blowing about. Right. I mean, he knew he'd tread the fine line.
He would have known.
We have to give Guesty a couple more shifts on Sky to make up.
If you wouldn't mind, he's not appealing, so he can't ride Star Turn in the Newmarket.
Just for those people who don't know, that's Mark Guest who works for Sky, and he also manages
Craig Williams.
Yeah.
But they're flying as a duo, so I wouldn't worry.
And I want to know the bloke. Overseas.
Dino, I need to know the bloke who, with about 200 to go, got the message to Cadillac Mountain that I was on it. Because it loomed up.
That's your best grueling effort for a while. I didn't know what happened to it. Now I do.
It was going straight past Big Memory, who has not won for 5 years.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Big Memory, he just didn't know how to find the line, and somehow he fought back and beat Cadillac Mountain.
It's in the stewards report. Approaching the 200-metre mark, Cadillac Mountain balked when it heard a cry coming from a North Shore resident in Sydney.
I even took unders. I was happy with $10, all right? It was $12. I thought, oh, this is beautiful.
He was going to be the next superstar, Cadillac Mountain, when Peter Moody had it, his first couple of runs, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a brother to... Rebel Raider and all those pretty handy stayers, and he's had a lot of problems, but he might win the Adelaide Cup next week. Who knows?
All right. We've got another final caller. Matt. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, Terry. How are you going?
Well, thanks, mate.
Just a quick question. I just want to know if Dino's seen Murakweb's run at the Black Oval and what he thought of it.
Yes, I thought it was very, very good. I think he's a very good horse in the making. It won't be, as we said earlier, about the slipper, but there'll be something pretty good for him in time.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he'd make that field, but
so was I.
Yeah, good. I'm not the only one then.
Well, I think a lot of people after that win at Moonee Valley on the Friday night, Matt, would have taken some pre-post odds.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether he went back to the Melbourne stable or come to Sydney with the sires or something in mind. So.
Yeah, I would say the sires.
Yeah.
He'll be pressing your way, I would say.
Yeah.
Another quick question. I'm not quite sure if you guys know, but I've got a soft spot for Antonio Giuseppe.
It's half the population.
You related to Nick Ashman?
He wins a lot.
He goes pretty good.
Last year at massive odds and for the Caulfield Cup, and he didn't quite get there, but I was just wondering where he's sort of tracking at the moment.
He'll run next Saturday, and he'll just keep ticking along. Whether he's going to savage the Sydney Cup this year, I will leave that. I suppose the horse will tell Chris Waller. He doesn't get too far ahead of himself, but he runs this Saturday and will run run favourite for sure.
Well done, Matt. Stick there with Antonio Giuseppe. You've still got time to join our tipping competition here on Sky Sports Radio. And if you can win that, you're off to Hong Kong that first week in December. You can watch Joe Marrera maybe ride the card up there, but it's fantastic. Or you could win a trip for two to the Melbourne Cup or the Cox Plate. All you got to do is simply go to the website, Big Sports Breakfast website, click on enter on the competition link, then follow the prompts to submit your tips. The Sky Sports Radio NRL tipping comp, adding even more excitement and bragging rights to your 2017 footy season. Glenn, have you got one to follow?
I actually got two, TK, from Scone yesterday. Two winners from Scone. One won a maiden in the shape of Movie. Geez, it absolutely sprouted wings the last
Movie, little. M-O-V-I-E.
No, M-O-O-B-I, Movie. And the other one is Denzel. David Fife has won a benchmark 55. I thought they were both very, very impressive the last little bit, which tends to get me in.
Okay. Dino, have you got one?
I'm going to nominate a race. The last race on Saturday that we just spoke about with Mr. Sneaky. The answer, my friend, was fantastic running second.
Yep.
Toffee Nose is a good filly over further. Okay. Rockstar Rebel might win a race like the South Australian Derby. So
So a really
feel like
good
Bob
form
Dylan
race.
If you're on the answer, my friend, you'd be there just locking yourself in a room and probably creating a
Please.
New.
He wasn't
song.
Blowing in the betting, but he.
Oh, here we go.
You'd be blowing up.
Yes.
I don't think Bob's a big horse racing fan.
Dino, do you own the mother of the quarterback? Do you own the mother?
Do you wish you did?
I had some sort of interest in the grandmother of the quarterback.
Oh,
I wish
please.
I kept the line.
Has there been a big?
The half brother of the quarterback made $1.4 million last week at the Ealing sales.
Wouldn't that be nice? And quickly. Duff, I haven't got you a one to follow.
Yeah, look, tough day on Saturday for horses to follow. Maybe Glen All. I think he was just out of maiden class. He's running
he's
that race.
Horse.
That run on Saturday. I don't know what Les is thinking, whether still savaging the big prize at this preparation or just come back a level to go through your classes. But he's a good horse, yeah.
Wasn't he or she a good omen bet with the Mardi Gras on Saturday night, boys? That's Priscilla from Manila. I'm not too sure whether that's me.
Jeez, it's a long way to Sydney from Manila.
Yeah.
Not the one overseas, the one up in the northwest.
It's actually he or she is.
Well, it depends what you want to do. There's a different chain of pronunciation experts.
Priscilla from Manila was quite happy the way it was. And could Dino quickly tell me, Michael Walker, what's happening with him, Gazza Guru?
No, I think he's in limbo. He's having a lot of tests done. His back's in a pretty bad way.
That's
and,
bad news.
Yeah, no, we're not hearing anything about Michael at the moment.
I think he's got to have another operation, so he's out.
Good on you, Priscilla from Manila. Nice to hear from you again, and obviously a very, very big weekend, as it was for you. Duff, thank you. Glenn Munsey, thank you.
Thank you, TK.
And Dean Lester, as always, thank you. We'll be hearing all these guys right throughout the week on Sky Sports Radio. We look forward to it. We're approaching, that's the pips, beautiful timing, like a proper professional. It's 10 o'clock.